Fine. So the major drama in this week's Parshat Shlach is what? Is the Meraglim. Chelet is fascinating, but the drama, I said drama, is the Meraglim. Now, one of the really fascinating things about the Meraglim, what I'm going to share with you is mostly from Rabbi Michael Hatton. I think it's a very nice analysis of it. So one of the crazy things about it is that we know that what happens after the Meraglim. Wait, what happens? God says, that's it.
You're dead.
Right? God says, I'm going to kill you. And then he says, okay, I'm not going to kill you, but you're not going to Eretz Yisrael, right? So if you look, and this is Parag Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Ad ana yinatsu niyam azeh, v'ad ana lo yaminu v'chala otor asher asiti b'kirbo. Or how long do they despise me? And they're not going to trust me, no matter how many miracles I do. Akenu v'adever v'arishenu. V'aseh otcha l'goy gadol v'atsu mimenu. So I'm going to kill them with a plague, and then I will make you a great nation instead. Does that sound familiar? Good. What happened? When did we get this type of argument last time?
The eagle.
The eagle. God says, that's it. Killing all the Jews. I'm going to start over from you. What happens after the eagle? How does that not happen? Moshe gets up and he gives the most impassioned plea of his life. Lama Yomru. Why are all the nations going to say that God took them out because he hated them? And what are you going to say to the Avot? And then he goes up to Har Sinai multiple times for multiple periods of 40 days. And each time God says, fine, I'll let them live, but I'm not going with you. I'm going to send a malach. Moshe says, no, it's not enough. Right? We're not going in unless it's you. Moshe davens. And that goes on for many, 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 many psukim. It's true that Moshe davens here as well, but it's a little bit different. He says, "Vayom Moshe Adonai v'shamu Mitzrayim ki alita v'cholcha et ha'am hazeh b'kirbo." But the nations are going to hear that the people you took out, v'amru el yoshev haaretz hazot, shamu ki ata Adonai b'kerav ha'am hazeh, asher ayin v'ayin yirah ata Adonai v'anancha omed aleihem, v'amud anan ata you're going to hear that this nation that you're with and that you appear to them eye to eye and that you have your cloud and the fire. And the nations are going to hear and they're going to say that because you couldn't do it, so God killed them in the Midbar. So instead, your koach should be expressed. Adonai rachapayim, rav chesed, nosei avon vafeshev, v'nakeh lo yinakeh, pokeh avon avod al benim, al shilashim v'rabim. He invokes several of the Yud Gimel Mido that he had from the Egel. So far, does this story sound like the Egel? In terms of Moshe's response? Yeah. Right? God says, I'm going to destroy them. Moshe says, don't do it. The nations are going to hear. Yud gimel midot harachamim. God says, Vayomer Adonai, salachti kidvarecha. I forgive them. So far, story's the same?
Yeah.
Then what happens? So remember, what in the Egel, God says, okay, I won't kill them, but I'm not going with them to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sending a malach. And what does Moshe do? No, if you do that, it's not worth it. And Moshe, right, every time God lowers the stakes, Moshe still says, no, I want it more, 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 until everything is back to normal. Here, what does God say? I forgive them. V'ulam, with a big however. What's the big however? V'ulam chayani v'imalech v'adonai et kol ha'aretz, but I swear that God's honor will fill the world. Ki kol ha'aneshim ro'im et kvoti v'adonai asher aziti v'mitzrayim v'mibar lai nasu oti ze'ezer pa'amim v'lo shamu b'koli. But I swear that all those who saw my honor and the miracles and tested me these 10 times, im yiru ad'aretz asher nishbati l'odam v'chol min ha'atzai lo yiru'ua. They will not see the land. Anyone who hated me shall not see it. If this was the ego, what would happen next? Yeah, you would say, okay, you're not annihilating them now, but you're making them die out. What are you doing? Not acceptable. This time, what does Moshe do?
That's okay.
Nothing. Fine. Yalla. So, the major question is, what happened? Right? What happened that in the Egel, Moshe fights tooth and nail? Each time God says whatever he says, Moshe pushes. And it's not just here. In case you're wondering, is the read of the story correct? So if you turn to Dvarim Perek Tet, when Moshe is retelling the story, so when he talks about the Egel and how he davened for the Jews, this is how Moshe describes his own thing. And I fell before God like the first time. 40 days and 40 nights I didn't eat. I didn't have water because of your sins. Right? That's how he describes his own tefillah at the Egel. Right? Very intense. And then he goes on and God was angry at Aaron, and I crushed up the eagle, and I fed it to you. And then in the middle of those psukim in Chav Gimel, he says as follows: Uvishloach Adonai etchem mikadesh barnei lemor alu rishut aretz shenatati lachem v'tamru et pi Adonai lachem v'lo amantem lo v'lo shamatem mikolo. And then you rebelled against God in Meraglim. And then what does he do? He goes back and he talks about he just goes back to his tefillah by the eagle. 40 days, 40 nights. He like throws it in. He's like, I davened for you many times. For the eagle, 40 days. And like, that was that other time that you did that other thing that like, I saved you also. But like, let's talk about the Egel, because that was the main thing. So Rabbi Hatton asked, so why is it that Moshe seems to daven so much more intensely for the Jews by the Egel than by Meraglim? The Ramban notes this and says something very radical. The Ramban in Tetzayin Aleph and Bamidbar says, he notes this, and he says, do you know why second. Let's open it up. Yeah, he says, do you know why the Jews rebelled in next week's Parsha at Korach? You know what Ramban says radically? Because Moshe didn't defend them. Yeah, he says, V'kasher chatu b'meraglim lo itbalel Moshe lehem v'lo batal gzera mehem. Because Moshe didn't daven after the meraglim, didn't get it the decree uprooted. Umeit v'nisei kol shvadim agai falu v'nei Hashem, and all the nesiim died. V'nigzar kol am sheyitamu v'mar v'sham yamutu. Az hayanevish kol amara. So everyone was bitter with Moshe. V'ayahayu omrim b'libad ki yavo lehem v'divrei Moshe takalot. And they said, whatever Moshe does, he causes problems. V'az matzah Korach makom lachol kamazav. So Korach said, now is my chance. I mean, the Ramban says it's not just that he didn't daven as much as, yeah, this is why Korach happens. Because the Jews were used to Moshe standing up for them. And this time, he says, whatever, okay, I saved them from destruction, so you'll die in the Midbar, you won't go there and Yisrael, nishkeferlich, whatever. And the Jews said, what? And he doesn't care about us. Korach comes, the guy doesn't care about you, he's in it for kavod. And they're like, yeah, that sounds about right. But that's how the Ramban reads next week's Parsha. Right? So Ray Hatton says, okay, that's very nice. Can we defend Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? Because this is quite damning, especially the Ramban. That is a very damning thing for the Ramban to say that, yes, the reason that they rebelled was because Moshe didn't daven enough for them. So here what he suggests, and this is, I think, a major perspective point on this whole second half of the Parsha, and that's why I wanted to raise it for you, is that the question disappears if you don't think of the dying in the 40 years as retribution, but instead you think of it as rehabilitation. Meaning, if you think of dying for 40 years as punishment, meaning God said he was going to kill you right away, and then he said, okay, I won't kill you right away, but I can kill you over 40 years, then you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, like he did by the Egel, though that's not fair either. Let's keep making things better. But several Rishonim such as the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam, say that you might have to look at it differently. Not here, but the Ibn Ezra in Shmot says as follows. In Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, why is it that, all the way back in Shmot, why is it that God had to fight for the Jews on their behalf at Yam Suf? Why didn't God just tell the Jews, fight? Right, there was whatever army there was in the Mitzrayim, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews, stand up and fight. So what does the Ibn Ezra say? Hatshuva ki haMitzrayim hayu adonim liYisrael. V'zeh ador hayotzei Mitzrayim laman mirav lizbol ol Mitzrayim v'nafsho shvela. Because they used to be their masters, and they grew up with as slaves. And they learned, they had a slave mentality. They were trained to be slaves and subservient. Right? And they couldn't fight their masters. Meaning they were weak and they didn't know war. Meaning, God can take them out of Egypt, but in order for them to, you could say, yeah, they took the Jews out of Egypt, we couldn't take Egypt out of them, but I don't even mean that, sometimes we don't mean that in terms of sins. The point is that, yes, they technically weren't slaves, but they had just been freed. Right? They're still, it takes a long time to recover from the psychological trauma that is hundreds of years of slavery. Draw your own, you know, and look. You guys live in America. I haven't lived there in a while, but you know that this is part of political discourse this year, right? These days, right? Which is, you know, the question of what is the responsibility of America to make up for the fact that, yeah, slavery isn't just slavery, right? The recovery from slavery can take a long time. So that's what Ibn Ezra is saying. Right? He's saying, yes, they were free, but they weren't free. Not psychologically, they weren't. The Rambam says the same thing in the Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Bet. He says as follows, that it was the result of God's wisdom that the Israelites were led about in the wilderness till they acquired courage. For it's a well-known fact that traveling in the wilderness and privation of bodily enjoyment, such as bathing, produce courage, while the reverse is the source of faint-heartedness. Besides, another generation rose during the wanderings that had not been accustomed to degradation and slavery. Right? The Rambam says they had to go there for two reasons. One, so it would be a second generation, and it was a 40-year wilderness therapy. Right? It was, you weak city people, right? We'll send you out and you'll have to survive in the desert for 2 months. Or 40 years, or whatever, it'll toughen you up. So both the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam, what you see is that being in the Midbar 40 years wasn't just punishment. It was the Jews weren't ready to be a nation. They didn't have the confidence to be a nation. And for the Rambam, yeah, how do you get confidence? First, you need another generation. And the second is, you need people to go through. Now, I don't know if the Midbar really was that experience with food coming from heaven and stuff like that. But okay, you can quibble on their exact application. The point is, both the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam see the 40 years in the Midbar not as retribution, but as rehabilitation, as an attempt to get the Jews to be ready. So Ray Hatton says, if you take that, then you can answer the question. Because Moshe did get rid of the punishment. And when God said, I'm going to keep you there for 40 years, he's not saying I'm punishing you as much as it's evident you're not ready. So you need time. And that Moshe's not going to daven to stop. Moshe's not going to stop God. He's not going to tell God, don't rehabilitate them. Don't then give them a chance to grow. He got rid of the destruction. Now, as the Rambam has it, it's a natural thing. The first generation just couldn't get to that point psychologically that where they could build a nation. So they had to live out their normal lives. Right? 60 was a basically normal lifespan, if not long, in those times. It wasn't like God was saying, I'm killing you young. Right, is you'll die, right? Okay, the 20-year-olds, they would die when they were 60. In that time, that was very normal. And if that's the case, then what's going on here is not retribution, it's rehabilitation. If that's the case, that's why Moshe didn't daven. Now, the Jews may not get it, right? Because still, rehabilitation might look like punishment. But fundamentally, if Moshe understood that's not what it was, then he wasn't going to try to stop it. Okay, so that's that.